Hey y'all, it's Rachel from Smarter Teaching, here to share a latte and give you all the tools you'll need to work smarter, not harder, in your classroom.
Hey readers, teachers, what is your spring like so far? For us, March has been truly crazy. The weather in one day will be like windy, rainy, and then sunny all, like I said, in one day. It's totally wild. And don't you worry, we are still locked down. I think this truly must be what like a slow decline into insanity feels like. I don't even really, I used to when I was a kid, oh, like not a kid, but like a teenager and like in my early and even mid 20s, used to really enjoy in-store shopping. I don't super love it at this stage of my life, but really I'm honestly starting to miss things like in-store shopping that I don't even really enjoy. I'm just starting to miss like all of these basic all of these basic like things that we take for granted, like being able to shop in a store, being able to go get a beer at a restaurant or a beer garden. Anyway, I only have 3 books to review this month because the second book took me a really long time to read. It was both long and dense, and I just had a couple weeks this month where I wasn't really making as much time as usual to read. This month on the pod, we've got One of Us is Lying, A Gentleman in Moscow, and The Guest List. First up, One of Us is Lying. So the first book that I read this month is One of Us is Lying. This is a YA murder mystery, and if you'll recall, I started this in February before before the podcast in February, but hadn't finished it. So just as a refresher, or if you didn't listen to February's episode, this is the publisher's summary for One of Us is Lying. Pay close attention and you might solve this. On Monday afternoon, 5 students at Bayview High School walk into detention. Bronwyn the Brain is Yale-bound and never breaks a rule. Addie the Beauty is the picture-perfect homecoming princess. Nate the Criminal is already on probation for dealing. Cooper the Athlete is the all-star baseball pitcher. And Simon the Outcast is the creator of Bayview High's notorious gossip app. Only Simon never makes it out of that classroom. Before the end of detention, Simon is dead. And according to investigators, his death wasn't an accident. On Monday, he died. But on Tuesday, he'd planned to post juicy reveals about all 4 of his high-profile classmates, which makes all 4 of them suspects in his murder. Or are they the perfect patsies for a killer who's still on the loose? Everyone has secrets, right? What really matters is how far you would go to protect them. Okay, so first, I am of the age where I read Bayview High and definitely think of Saved by the Bell. Tell me I'm not the only one, right? Tell me someone else has read this book and immediately thought about Saved by the Bell the entire time. If you have been here for any time at all, you know that I'm pretty, in general, pro thriller and mystery. It's a genre that I enjoy and read somewhat often, and I'm also not too proud to read YA. Even saying all of those things, I just feel pretty 3 stars about this book. It was enjoyable. It didn't take over my life. The characters were realistic and believable. I liked them. I sympathized with them. I felt shocked when they revealed shocking things. I felt sad when sad things happened to them. Like, I felt betrayed when other characters betrayed them. So, I mean, I think that the characters are realistic and that it's easy to connect with them. I was definitely invested, but to me, the resolution didn't feel totally authentic to the rest of this book. And also, a friend that I chatted with after I finished it sort of felt the same way. It felt like to me, in the end, the author was looking for a way to shock readers. I bought the murder solution. I bought the solution, or the resolution, I suppose, to the actual murder. But I didn't really buy who the accomplice was. And that's all I'm really going to say in case you haven't read it yet and want to. To me, it was a situation where authors, and this certainly is not something that I find unique to this book, and it drives me crazy across all books I read that do this, but I feel always like a little annoyed or frustrated when I feel like authors spend all of this time creating characters and like establishing this pattern of behavior, and then in the resolution of the story, there's like this complete 180 and the character does something that isn't really, to me, doesn't seem in line with what the author has created them to be. I mean, I guess really the author creates these characters, so whatever they do is really in the vein of how the author created them. But for me, it's just a personal pet peeve. Sometimes I just feel like authors create these characters and then all of a sudden they're like, oh no, I need some resolution here. And so they just have like one character take this total 180 as it seems to me a matter of convenience. And it just drives me crazy because I never feel satisfied by that. If you like thriller, if you like murder mysteries, if you like YA, this book will probably fit the bill. I don't think you're going to feel upset that you read it. It's probably not going to change your life. For me, this book was a solid 3 stars. I enjoyed it. It was a nice, I had read a couple nonfiction books before this, so it was like a nice light read, kind of getting me out of that nonfiction and onto the path of more reading. All right, y'all. The second book I read this month was A Gentleman in Moscow. And I have been on the wait list for this book for what feels like 100 years. A really good friend recommended it to me and it finally came up. And this was a really different book for me. I'm going to read you the publisher's summary and then we'll talk about this. The publisher's summary is pretty brief. In 1922, Count Alexander Rostov is deemed an unrepentant aristocrat by a Bolshevik tribunal and is sentenced to house arrest in the Metropole, a grand hotel across the street from the Kremlin. Rostov, an indomitable man of erudition and wit, has never worked a day in his life and must now live in an attic room while some of the most tumultuous decades in Russian history are unfolding outside the hotel's doors. Unexpectedly, his reduced circumstances provide him entry into a much larger world of emotional discovery. Brimming with humor, a glittering cast of characters, and one beautifully rendered scene after another, this singular novel casts a spell as it relates to the Count's endeavor to gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be a man of purpose. So before I get into my personal feelings on this, I'm going to tell you there's on Goodreads, there's like some banners for this book, like a New York Times bestselling author, blah, blah, blah. And then this is my, I think this is truly like the best thing I've seen above a book in the past year. This is a quote from the Oprah magazine. Quote, "Perhaps the ultimate quarantine read. A Gentleman in Moscow is about the importance of community, the distance of a kind act, and resilience. It's a manual for getting through the days to come." End quote, which I just think is super funny. So basically, if you didn't gather from the publisher summary, the main character, Count Rostov, is sentenced to house arrest, and he basically lives the rest of his life in this hotel. So it's like not the original quarantine, but it's funny because he basically is quarantined. I mean, they're calling it house arrest, of course, but I just thought it was funny that Oprah's out here trying to suggest we read this book to get more sense of our lives under quarantine. So I mentioned this a couple weeks ago in a currently reading Instagram post, but this book was dense. It is 150% not a quick read. And I'm also here to tell you there is not very much closure at the end. It is a very open-ended ending for the Count. It's funny to me. Ironic? No, it's funny. Because when I finished it, I immediately texted 2 good friends who I knew had also read the book and asked them what their thoughts were. And they both had really different ideas about what happens at the end. So the book is 466 pages, or at least the Kindle version that I read is, and it's just a really dense and a really verbose story. I mostly enjoyed it because it makes for really beautiful writing and storytelling, but it's definitely different from most contemporary novels. And it's, I was truly surprised that I liked this book as much as I did, only because recently I feel like I've been giving a couple books a hard time where nothing really happens. And kind of in this book, nothing really happens. There's a lot of personal growth, I suppose, for the characters, but there really isn't a lot of action in the typical sense. But for me, the writing is really beautiful. For me, the closest comparison I can make is like a Barbara Kingsolver or Delia Owens, who wrote Where the Crawdads Sing. But that writing more focuses on nature, and this writing is really more about people's behavior and like the human condition. I enjoyed this book much more than I thought I would. For me, I have several friends who read it and gave it 5 stars. For me, I feel like it's 4. And like I said, it's just for me because there's not a lot of action, not really a whole lot happens in this book. We follow Rostov, I think something like 30 years, 30 or 40 years, like all said and done by the time the novel ends. So there's a very long stretch in the novel, but I mean, it's basically about like his daily life. So certainly like small problems come up, and but like I said, there's no sweeping action. It's mainly about like the characters as people and their interactions with one another. And I was definitely very, very skeptical in advance of reading a book about a guy who's essentially on house arrest, because I was like, what's going to happen in this book? He can't go anywhere. What will happen? But I was definitely pleasantly surprised, and I would recommend this book if you are a fan of historical fiction, if you're into Russian history, if you're into very beautifully written novels. And I would just like to add that sometimes I think novels are verbose to the point of being pretentious, and this book is not like that at all. There was never a time where I thought that this, like sometimes I feel like I read books that are verbose or dense and I feel annoyed because it feels like the author is pretentious, almost like they're angling for like the Pulitzer Prize or some type of award, and that drives me crazy. Like one book that belongs in this category for me is All the Light We Cannot See. I ended up enjoying that book, but it took me forever to get into it because the whole time I just felt like the author was, it just read to me as a very pretentious novel. Anyway, this book did not read that way to me at all, and it was just a really beautiful story. It is, like I said, not a quick read, but it is like if you're kind of looking to lose yourself in a story and not necessarily be like completely consumed and put off your life duties for a book, because I didn't find that, but I did find it to be consuming. And because the novel is so, there's so much detail, you can really picture the restaurant and you can picture his rooms in the hotel and you can picture what he sees from his balcony when he looks out. Like, I've never been to Russia, but I feel like I could picture what he was describing when he was in the book, like when he's writing and moving through the story. So this, for sure, I would, like I said, I would recommend if you are into historical fiction, Russian history, or if you're just into, I would also say like family novels. This book really does not follow his family, but there is definitely an undercurrent about like making your own family from like good friends and loyalty, that type of thing. But so historical fiction, Russian history, like a friends becoming family theme, or just really beautifully written novels. If any of those things are your bag, I would for sure recommend this. This was a beautiful story, and I would give it 4 stars. And readers, the last book that I read this month was The Guest List by Lucy Foley. This is really different from A Gentleman in Moscow, but this is also a book that I had been waiting for a really long time, and it was finally available, so I snatched it up. This book was part of Reese Witherspoon's book club, I want to say last summer sometime, maybe June 2020. In any case, here is the publisher summary. On an island off the coast of Ireland, guests gather to celebrate two people joining their lives together as one. The groom, handsome and charming, a rising television star. The bride, smart and ambitious, a magazine publisher. It's a wedding for a magazine or for a celebrity. The designer dress, the remote location, the luxe party favors, the boutique whiskey. The cell phone service may be spotty and the waves may be rough, but every detail has been expertly planned and will be expertly executed. But perfection is for plans, and people are all too human. As the champagne is popped and the festivities begin, resentments and petty jealousies begin to mingle with the reminiscences and well wishes. The groomsmen begin the drinking game from their school days. The bridesmaid not so accidentally ruins her dress. The bride's oldest friend gives an uncomfortably caring toast. And then someone turns up dead. Who didn't wish the happy couple well? And perhaps more important, why? In terms of readability, this is almost as different from the A Gentleman in Moscow as you can get. It was published last year and reads like a contemporary novel. It's quick, it's fast-paced. It's a little bit like One of Us is Lying in the sense that almost every chapter has a different narrator, but they're all pushing the storyline forward. I found in this book it was easier to discern who the narrator of each chapter was. I will say one moderately annoying thing to me about this book is that Lucy Foley, the author, ended like every single chapter with a hook, and it just felt after a while a little overdone. I mean, I am reading the book. I obviously want to read it. You don't have to like force me to keep reading with a hook at the end of every chapter. I also will say that this book, I'm becoming a bit of a skeptic in the thriller / murder mystery genre, because I was really into this novel. I felt like the secrets were building and they were like relationships were becoming exposed and everyone's backstory was weaving together. And then all of a sudden the story just ended in this really bizarre and surprising way, and there was no closure. So I think for me, part of the problem or the reason that I felt this way was because the whole story takes place over what I assume to be about 48 hours. The characters all come to this remote island for Julia and Will's wedding. So some of the events are retold from the past, but basically the whole story is happening in like real, in the quote real time of this book, as this wedding unfolds. So like I said, I just was really into all of the characters. I especially felt very sympathetic towards Hannah, and I was really into this book. I was really appreciating honestly a lot about it, and then I just sort of felt like it felt like to me we were learning all of these things about the past. We were learning what people were thinking about the events of the wedding weekend. And then all of a sudden, like, boom, here's the resolution. Here's who was murdered. Here's who did it. And then everybody's like, okay, great. Now the police are here. Everybody go home. Have a great weekend. Have a great life. And it just felt to me a little rushed. But then also I felt like invested in several of the characters, and I wanted to know, I just had a lot of questions about what happened to them after the end of the story, like what happens to them at the end of the novel. And I definitely think that there would have been room to add deeper resolution, and I certainly don't think that a more rounded out resolution would have affected the strength of the book. In fact, it's obviously my opinion that it would have made it stronger. but I think that the book just kind of like like I said, ended abruptly. They were building and building and building and making all of these connections and like making this web of everyone's past. And then it just sort of seemed to hastily draw to an end is my feeling. So this again would be for me like maybe 2.75 to 3 stars. I don't think you will, like I said, it's not going to change your life. I don't think you're going to feel annoyed or upset if you read this book, but it's also not going to, for me, it's certainly not going to make a top 10 list of this year or likely of any, but it's not like I'm not annoyed that I read it. I don't wish that I had that time back or anything like that. So if you're looking for a quick read, if you're looking for a thriller, if you're looking for a murder mystery, this would certainly fit the bill. But like I said, it's also unlikely that it will change your life. I am currently reading, I just started yesterday, A Man Called Ove, which I'm really looking forward to. In my mind, this book is going to be like Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine, which I super loved. I read that like a summer or two ago. And then we'll see where else this goes. I hope, readers, that you are enjoying the peeps of spring that are coming your way, that you are reading truly delightful books, and that you're wearing your mask when you go outside. Don't forget, you can connect with me by following this podcast wherever you like to listen to podcasts, by following me on Instagram at smarterteaching, all one word, or by connecting directly on my website, rachelwilser.com. All right, see you in a few weeks. Bye.